Hey guys, and welcome to the Pacing Racing Podcast, the Canadian triathlon podcast made in mind for the age group triathletes. So today we have Hind Hobeka, founder of one of the coolest pieces of swim technology that I've ever used, which is known as the Instabeat. So as most of you know, swimming is actually one of my weakest of the three disciplines in triathlon. I mean, as a matter of fact, I actually signed up for my very first triathlon before ever actually even knowing how to swim the front crawl. So I'd learned the basics as a kid in order to leisurely swim and stay afloat, but never actually took that typical avenue of taking lessons as a kid and sticking with them or swimming in school. So I can definitely say that I've spent a ton of time in the pool trying to improve my quality of training over the last few years. So throughout my training, I've always liked to pay close attention to heart rate zones because, I mean, coming from a medical background, I was just intrigued by how the body reacts and compensates and what your heart rate can be telling you. Now, this has always been super easy to do on the bike and run because of watches, heart rate straps, and the ability to analyze your data on your phone, apps, and your laptop after the sessions. Now, I really found in swimming, this key component was missing until a good friend of mine told me about Instabeat, and I decided to incorporate that into my swim training. So I'll save the details of what the Instabeat is for Hind to explain in this podcast, but I thought it'd be amazing to have her on for an episode to talk about the Instabeat and how you might be able to incorporate it into your training, as well as dedicate this episode to key swimming tips for age group triathletes. Now, we'll cover training tips like how to start implementing heart rate training zones in your swim sessions, how you can structure your training sessions, and what you should and shouldn't focus on as a beginner swimmer. And we'll go over some great drills and swim tips that you'll definitely want to hear all about. Now, enough for me. Let's hear from the founder of Instabeat. And now, let's cue the music. First sponsor of today's show is Soul Fitness Canada, who is a premier global name in the fitness industry and has become one of the fastest growing fitness brands across the US and Canada. And the reason why I'm so excited for Soul Fitness Canada to be the show sponsor is because all of you know, we are unfortunately nearing the end of summer, which means as a proactive thinker, I have to start thinking about indoor training. And with Challenge Roth just under 11 months away, we're ramping up the volume and running, which requires a treadmill that I'll be able to spend countless hours on. So with lots of research, I found a brand that I can stand behind for their value, quality, and their service. And I'm excited to say that I ended up actually getting the TT8 treadmill from Soul Fitness Canada. And so you'll definitely be seeing lots of this treadmill, guys, in the Pacing Racing videos. And I can't wait to put some miles on inside the paint cave. And now you may ask, how did I end up choosing Soul Fitness Canada over all the other brands? For those who don't know, Soul has a full line of treadmills, ellipticals, and exercise bikes, and has been in the industry for decades and is a popular brand well over 29 countries. They are one of the only manufacturers to warehouse all their parts and products in Canada and host a fully bilingual customer service team. And to briefly touch on the treadmill I went with, it offers up to 15 levels of incline, 6 levels of decline with speeds up to 12 miles per hour. It has accurate heart rate monitoring with both pulse grips and chest strap options, and the TT8 features a large 22-inch by 60-inch running surface, handlebar-mounted speed incline buttons, inboard speakers, and a cooling fan, and so much more, guys. So these are all important factors for me when I went looking for a treadmill. And another thing that may resonate with the listeners is it's not just for winter training. In fact, I have a daughter that's 19 months old and who happens to love her nap time. So I love the idea that I'm able to go for a long run on the treadmill while she sleeps. And I think this is a great way for effective time management for the time crunch triathletes out there. So if any of you are in the market for treadmills, bikes, rowers, or ellipticals, or any of that stuff for your pain cave, then head to soulfitness.ca/pacing-and-racing. And again, Soul is spelled S-O-L-E. And if you guys have any questions on products, then you definitely shoot me a DM and I can help guide you into a treadmill that would suit your needs. So Soul Fitness is providing Pacing Racing listeners a free equipment mat with any cardio equipment they purchase from the website, which is a $50 value. So that's super cool of them, guys. And all you have to do is type in Pacing and Racing during checkout. So the second sponsor of today's show is Sycon Bags, which I'm super thrilled about because, of course, being here in Canada, unfortunately, it requires a ton of traveling and flying to get around to some of these big name races like Challenge Roth. So if anyone has traveled with a bike before, you know it can be an extremely hectic journey if you aren't prepared. And not only that, but it's the whole process of taking your bike apart, putting it back together when you get there. Meanwhile, on the flight, you're probably praying that your bike doesn't get damaged. And I mean, that's why I'm thrilled to say after a ton and ton of research into bike cases, I finally went with the Sycon Aerotech Evolution X, and I can't wait to show you guys and talk all about it because I'll be doing a video on it going over in detail about exactly how easy it is to store my bike in it to travel, how little time it takes, and I mean, most importantly, how convenient it is to travel with. Now, I think many of the listeners who follow me know I'm a big fan of keeping costs low because we all know triathlon is such an expensive sport. But I truly, truly think a bike case is just, it's one of those few items that you shouldn't cheap out on. And the reason why I say that is because there'd be no worse feeling than traveling for a race only to get there with a damaged bike or dealing with the stress of a complete bike rebuild. For a quick few points on the bike case that I chose, it's one of the toughest and lightest hard shell cases out there in the world, yet it only comes in at about 26 pounds, so it's very light. And it can fit bikes up to 62 centimeters in size and wheels up to 26 inches. Now, smaller bikes like mine can fit in without removing the saddle, and in most cases, you only need to remove the wheels, remove one pedal, and turn the handlebars. Like, that's it. And of course, I could talk about the bike case I bought, but there's so many Cyclon bags available out there that have their own neat perks and bonuses. So definitely browse around and see, I mean, which one best suits you, because everyone's going to be different at the end of the day. So if you guys want to check out their lineup and see what's on sale, then head to www.cyclonbags.com or search them on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube by typing in Cyclon, which again is spelled S-C-I-C-O-N. So, Hind, welcome to the H Racing Podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks so much for having me.
No, yeah, thanks so much for coming on. Obviously, I'm very excited in particular about today's episode because I believe this is actually the first swim-specific episode, which is great for the listeners because I myself probably focus a little too much on the bike and run. So I think this is perfect and it'll mix things up nicely. It's good.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so before we get into talking about Instabeat, let's actually catch the listeners up to pace a little bit on your background in swimming because you grew up as a competitive swimmer, correct?
Yeah, actually, I grew up in Lebanon, which is a really small country on the Mediterranean. So, you know, I almost don't know anyone there that doesn't swim. So it pretty much comes as a natural byproduct of being a Lebanese citizen. So I've been swimming ever since I was a kid. And I was part of swim teams also for as long as I can remember. And I was pretty serious about it. You know, I wasn't the fastest, but I was definitely the most committed. I had a really good technique, actually, and I focused so much on technique in all of my swim training years. But I think most importantly, I loved so much the feeling of, you know, the first stroke in the water and then how amazing you feel after a swim workout.
That's amazing. And so obviously swimming's been an integral part of your life over these years. Now, I guess at what point throughout your swimming career was the turning point for you that sort of made you decide that you wanted to tackle that like amazingly complex project of creating a swim technology product like Instabeat? And I mean, I guess to even expand on that a little bit here, I guess for the listeners who may not know about it yet, can you explain sort of what the Instabeat is, the product you made?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instabeat is a sensor module that mounts on any swimming goggles, so you can keep your favorite pair of goggles. And it shows you real-time heart rate zone feedback as you swim in a color code. So we have three colors that indicates a training zone. So blue for the low zone, green for the middle zone, and red for the high zone. And I use these generic terms because on the app, you can define these zones to be whatever works for you. So you can highly customize these zones. But basically what we were trying to do through Instabeat is to give the swimmer real-time feedback on their effort as they're training. So there is a sensor, a heart rate sensor that sits on the temple on the side of the goggle and that is continuously recording the heart rate data. There are also motion sensors on the device that automatically track the head motion and from that translates it into swim strokes, lap times, pace, duration, active time versus rest time. So during the workout, you see a real-time light and post-workout, you sync your data to an app that gives you detailed analytics. You know, for every single lap, what was your heart rate? What was the time? How much did your heart rate vary, etc.? So it gives you a really granular level of detail on how you performed during that workout.
Amazing. That's super cool to hear. And actually, one of the things you mentioned very early on there was that you get to keep your own goggles, which I think is super huge because I remember you saying actually some swimmers are pretty much married to their goggle set, right? So
yeah.
A lot of swimmers don't like to switch up a new set just to fit a new product, right? So it's very cool. And I'm actually a huge fan of this product because I just couldn't believe the complexity behind it. I mean, it's a small product, right? But there's so much factors behind it, right? Like it has to fit so many other types of goggles and just all the technology behind it, which is absolutely incredible when I started using it.
I mean, you know, the company has been around for 10 years. So we've had like 4 years of pure research. and then 6 years of manufacturing. So it's taken us a really long time to get this product to market. And this is because the problem we were trying to solve was very difficult. How do you get one unit to mount on every single swimming goggle out there? And there are hundreds of models. And on every single head shape out there, and there are more than thousands of head shapes out there. it was a very difficult problem to solve, as well as like putting all the sensors, making sure we have enough battery life, the Bluetooth connection, etc. And actually, our approach to this was a very interesting one because it involved the whole community of San Francisco and Lebanon and China. So basically, we had, we had a human factors expert come up with the first theoretical model of how InstaBeat's design should look like, based on, the most common head shapes and the most common goggles. But then we got to the pool, and at every pool test, we had 10 people with different head shapes come, and each of them had to swim with 11 different goggles. And so part of the swim test was to actually do a minimum of 10 minutes, including the different strokes, flipping, gliding, pushing off the wall, basically doing everything that could make your goggles leak in a swim. And then, if it worked, great, the design would pass. If it didn't work, we would film it underwater. We would understand what made the goggle leak or fog. And then we would try to make changes on the spot. And then, after a few days when we had made the design changes, we'd come with the 10 new swimmers and make them swim again and again. So over the lifetime of the design, we've tested with over 250 swimmers in three continents for this design to come to life. So it was a very big problem to solve.
That's incredible. No, it's amazing to see how much went into this. And I mean, it definitely shows in the final product outcome. It's a really cool piece of technology. And I mean, so I guess you recognized a problem there and you provided that solution, which is incredible and very smart to do. But were you surprised that there wasn't really a great solution to this problem yet before InstaBeat?
Yeah, I mean, I was really shocked. Like, lots of people swim, so it's kind of like a niche sport that's not so niche. It's not like car racing, which is really exclusive. So I know that it is a segment that's interesting enough to have for one of the companies to invest in, but yet all the products out there were just watches that were kind of designed for running, but then adapted to swimming. And that had its own issues. Like if you're a pure swimmer, and by pure, I mean like not a triathlete swimmer, you would never, ever wear a watch. I've never seen any pool swimmer wear a watch. So there was a rejection for the form factor itself. And then even if you were if you're a triathlete that's used to wearing a watch, they're kind of big, they kind of slide when you swim. And that's the reason why heart rate in these watches for swimming didn't exist for a long time. Because as you're doing your strokes, the watch is moving a little bit on your hand. And that makes the heart rate reading not so accurate. Of course, now with all of the noise, the denoising and the signal processing improvements, these watches work much, much better. But we're talking 10 years ago. From 10 years up until the last 2 years, there really hasn't been any innovation in swimming. And that was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I guess what I liked about this is I found as a triathlete that this completed my circle of analytics for all my training sessions. When you just said it there, all triathletes pretty much have watches, right? And for the cycling and the running. And I myself paid a lot of attention to heart rate zones in training for cycling and for running, but I totally just ignored it on my swimming until I started using the InstaBeat. And I think that's like, as triathletes, we're all so inherently into our data that I think that just gives us that much more to work with essentially in training. So I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, I must say, now that InstaBeat is available and we're working with team and coaches, we're seeing ourselves having to change the training language a little bit because there weren't tools available for heart rate in swimming. So people didn't train so much based on heart rate, and heart rate training is very established in running and cycling. And through InstaBeat, we're actually trying to change that conversation and bring it to swimming as well.
Oh, perfect. No, that's great. And actually, you touched base there on coaches, and that's kind of a question of mine too. Now, what sorts of methods of training are there that you're able to apply using this tool with with athletes? Say if coaches wanted to use them with their athletes that they're training with, because I can imagine a coach can create drill sessions based around those targeted efforts and even analyze the data post-workouts as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, coaches we work with use it in two different ways. One is during the training. First of all, if you don't dim the brightness too much, the coach can actually see the color of your InstaBeat from afar. They can actually know whether you're in the requested. I'm not sure all swimmers actually like that, but it was cool for the coach for sure. But yeah, I mean, the coach can make sure that actually the swimmer is in the right zone that was targeted for this training set. Other benefit is making sure that you're not overworking yourself right from the warm-up. So actually making sure that you're in a warm-up zone during those initial laps. And then most importantly, during interval sets, making sure that you're properly recovering between each set is crucial in order, to avoid burnout, to avoid the overworking your set. These are all super crucial, and coaches we work with have changed their language a little bit from start on the minute to start on the blue, just to make sure that your heart rate has had enough time to go down before actually starting the next sprint. And you know what we've seen is that usually to get to the blue it only takes a few extra seconds, but then at your next sprint set, your heart rate won't elevate as much and you're able to go further and faster because you've given yourself those few extra seconds of rest. That's really been a game changer. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that too, because yeah, as I was using it, I did really notice that became super helpful in just recovery between sets. I think that's a huge bonus to that as well. And just kind of watching what color you're in and realizing it and then seeing it drop back down and then you're able to kind of go again. It does make a huge difference. So I was pretty fascinated by that. Now, like, what feedback have you been getting from athletes who've been able to incorporate it in their training? Like, you've had some really great triathletes out there now using it. I noticed in particular two previous podcast guests that we had, Matt Hansen and Lauren Brandon, who is an incredible swimmer. They both use it in their training.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they both use it in very different ways. So Lauren, for example, she trains far away from her coach and her team. So, and she is a super swimmer, as everyone knows. So she uses it more to stay engaged in her swim. And she's actually been learning so much about her swim through InstaBeat. So for example, she's learned that she's just not able to elevate her heart rate during her swimming, which was a really interesting insight to her because she was tracking her heart rate in biking and running and her heart rate spikes up during those two disciplines. But for swimming, when she started using InstaBeat, this was such a great insight that her and her coach incorporated in her training plan, as well as her staying engaged and making sure that because she's swimming alone, she's not swimming slower or that she's recovering properly and she's doing all the intended workout that now can be tracked. It's really changed the dynamic of swimming alone for her.
No, absolutely. That's really cool to see. And I mean, if, it's fascinating to see someone so talented as a, like you said, a super swimmer there, like perfect way of identifying Lauren, but the fact that she's using that and, you know, learning things about her training and working with her coach to incorporate it into new training methods, I think that's really exciting to see. So I guess thinking about age group triathletes out there, someone like myself, if you were to give examples of ways someone should start trying to incorporate this new technology into their training, how should they go about it? Like, what's maybe an example of a workout session that they can try using InstaBeat to get comfortable with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I would say if you have InstaBeat, the first thing you do are calibration workouts. So usually dry land zones are a good way to start with swimming zones. But I would suspect that for most people, especially for people that are not so comfortable with swimming, that the swimming zones are going to be different. And so, there is a theory around the heart rate in water being lower than on dry land. And this is true for people who are really good swimmers, but not so mathematical when it's for new swimmers. So the first calibration set you can do is actually doing a small warm-up, 10, 20 minutes, staying in the blue zone with InstaBeat. And then swimming 1 kilometer or 1 mile set, trying to aim for the red zone constantly. And then afterwards, when you sync your data to the app, you take the red zone portion of the workout and you take the average of that portion, and that becomes the maximum heart rate to determine your blue and your green and your red zones. So that's a great way to start actually understanding yourself. And then we also have designed a series of workouts to understand yourself beyond just your heart rate zone. So for example, do you know which stroke elevates your heart rate more? I mean, I know most people will answer butterfly, but again, is it backstroke? Is it breaststroke? This gives you insight on what you're comfortable is more or less comfortable with. And similarly with hands and legs, like, do your hand elevates your heart rate much faster than your legs are? And there are specific drills for you to understand this dynamic in real time. And so that when you have that feedback, you can tweak your training program accordingly to, you know, strengthen your weaker areas in your swimming.
Amazing. So that's actually really cool. I'm glad you expanded so much into that, because that's a great way. I think everyone, if they use this product, if they want to start out with it, I think that's the excellent way of doing it, because what you just said there will really kind of help set the foundation for what you're capable of doing with training with InstaBeat going further. So that's awesome. And I mean, from my experience using it, I've tried it, like you said, I've even tried it myself on several pairs of goggles, and there's no issues with any of the pairs. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's excellent. I mean, it didn't move around in the water. It was actually quite nice having lights in the corner. Like, now I come from a fire service background, sorry, and it reminds me of the HUDs we have on our face mask that we use, because that indicates the level of air supply in the oxygen tank. So, I mean, just to kind of have that resemblance, it fit in so seamlessly. I thought it was really neat to see that. And it was overall very cool product to use. Yeah, I was happy with it.
Cool. I'm so happy to hear that. You know, we thought a lot about whether we want a numerical display or another type of feedback in the water, because, you know, swimming is such a minimalist sport. And in general, you know, I'm talking more from the pool swimmer perspective, because that's how I grew up. You tend to avoid wanting to wear anything, and you tend to want to be as comfortable as possible in the water. So we tested a lot, you know, vibration feedback and numerical feedback. And we felt that this light that's on the bottom corner of your eye is, first of all, just the right amount of information you need in order to increase your engagement in the water, increase your motivation, and also have the right feedback to gauge your effort. But also is just, it won't ruin the meditative aspect of your swim. It won't contribute to any sensory overload, which is a risk when you're actually going to swim, whether it's to train or to relax, you know?
Wow. Yeah, no, that I've actually never thought about that. And that's actually a really good way of putting it too, because you're right. I always did think of what would be the difference if you saw, like you said, numerical values on there, or even other alternatives like vibration, things like that. So that's actually very cool. That's excellent. Now, I mean, I guess moving forward a little bit, what are the plans for InstaBeat? Are you guys going to continue making more products, or are there just maybe future updates on the product, or sort of what lies ahead going further?
In the short term, we have lots of updates for the product coming. We also have lots of experiences around the product, you know. So we've been doing lots of swim classes that have an InstaBeat format, and that's been going really great because people are super highly engaged and it really makes the workout fun. So we've been doing that. There's lots of tech updates coming through the software. We're also looking into our next hardware update, so the actual physical product next generation. And we're also that's not so near term. I would say that's maybe in the next year or two. But we're looking into other sports verticals that, you know, could be using similar technology. So any sport where using your hands to bend and look at a watch is not so practical, and you'd need just the right amount of information in order to give it your all in the sport.
Wow. No, that's excellent. That's awesome to see. And really looking forward to keeping up with that. Now, those classes you guys do, I assume are they in Lebanon right now, or where do you guys do those kind of classes?
No, actually, we've been doing them all over the Bay Area. So okay. We have a coach and a few people from our team that go around. We've been doing them either as part of a master's workout, if the coach is up for that, or we've been doing them separately as part of, so actually we have, for example, a class tomorrow at Equinox. So it's kind of a class that mixes dry land and swim workouts, and it's based on interval training in order for people, because it's 30 minute swim. So the objective of the swim there is to elevate the heart rate, but then get the proper recovery meanwhile and then mix it up with dry land. So we're testing out different formats to see what sticks, what doesn't, what actually motivates people, because ultimately our goal, you know, is obviously to bring more data to the sport so that people can swim faster. But also we want more people to swim. And I think a big hurdle in swimming is that, first of all, it's very technique based. So people that don't have the right technique could get turned off by the sport, but also a lot of people that do have the technique find it boring, you know? So we're hoping that through InstaBeat, whether it's through the device itself or through the experience around the device, more people will be engaged and will find it fun to go swim.
Awesome. No, I love it. That's very neat. I'm happy to hear that, how it's all kind of changing and shaping the way that we see swimming in the future. So that's excellent. So before we get into some swim talk and some swim tips and things like that, I kind of want to touch base on a little couple of technical specs for the people out there listening who, you know, just love those fine details, the typical age group triathlete out there who loves the data and the specs. So now I'm just going to read it here just off the website. Now, correct me if I'm saying anything wrong or missing anything here, but it's 27 grams. So it's super light and actually lighter than the goggles themselves. It's got a 5-hour battery life with a 1-hour charge time, and it's waterproof for 30 meters, and it stores 10 hours memory of heart rate data. And then at which point, I guess it would have to be uploaded to the app to clear the storage, and then you're good for 10 more hours. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So it's 10 hours, you know, of swimming. But yeah, I mean, our recommendation is to upload it after every workout so that you can get the insights for your next workout. But every 10 workouts works as well.
Yeah, beauty. No, excellent. Okay, good. So I just want to clarify that, because I know I'll probably get 10 or 12 questions at least after this episode goes out about certain specs. So I kind of wanted to clarify some of those. And then, of course, if they want, we'll say at the end of the podcast kind of where they can go and learn more about these products. But I just kind of wanted to wrap those up inside the podcast. So that's perfect. And
yeah.
Now, actually, one other thing too, I was asked by someone on Facebook, and I want to clarify this. It's currently available, the app I'm talking about, I guess, specifically, it's available on iPhone 5S or newer, but it's not yet available on Android, but it soon might be?
Yes, we are working on developing the Android app. That's been a little bit behind because we wanted to test out everything on the iOS before launching the Android. So stay tuned for that. It's coming soon.
Perfect. Excellent. No, that's good. So switching things up here slightly, I thought, you know, for those athletes out there training for the half or full distance Ironman, so having the 2-kilometer swims, the 4-kilometer swims respectively, what advice could you recommend them to focus on the most in training? Like, should they be focusing on just getting in that distance while staying comfortable, or should they be incorporating some of that high intensity, that red zone training into the equation? Or what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it all depends on how much time you have to actually to train for these distances. But I would say, taking a step back, I think technique is probably the most important thing when it comes to swimming. So I think that once you nail the technique in swimming and you learn how to breathe comfortably in water, actually you will see how much your heart rate goes down from having a technique that's not efficient in water to having a technique that's just gliding through the water. So I would say that's the most important first step, I think. And then the number one thing I see triathletes doing in the pool is going all out at the beginning very fast, and then they exhaust themselves and they have to slow down tremendously, and they're actually quite tired when they get to the bike. And this is actually how the coaches we work with have been using InstaBeat to train triathletes. So pacing themselves and setting a goal for a certain heart rate and then increasing the distance slowly over time while keeping that heart rate. And obviously, as you get better in training, your pace will go higher. But the most important rule is to keep your heart rate at your race pace so that you get used to actually swimming at that heart rate on race day, so that you're able to make the most out of your two best disciplines, maybe the running and the biking.
Mm-hmm. No, excellent. That's actually really good. That's a good piece of advice. And so what would be some common rookie mistakes you might see? A perfect example, as we talk about triathletes, you see a lot of the newer or less experienced swimmers do in training. Like, are there certain technique problems you might often see in the pool? Problems that we can kind of shed some light on in case some other people are out there who are doing it and may not realize it's a mistake necessarily?
I think that swimmers, or I would say triathlete swimmers who are new to the swimming, don't focus enough on working their breathing. And I think that's the most important, because in the pool, it's very easy to control your breathing pattern. I think in the water, in the open water, especially at the beginning when there's so many people around, it's actually not that easy, and is very easy to choke or to get tired from the lack of breath. So doing lots of breathing drills and actually trying to breathe every 3 strokes, every 5 strokes, every 7 strokes, that actually increases your endurance in water and makes you more comfortable in having to keep the breath in until your next stroke. This is super important. And again, I think working on drills that make you more efficient in the water are really important. So working on glides, working on flip turns, you know, at face value, triathletes don't really need flip turns. But actually, flip turn is so important because it teaches you to engage your core. It teaches you how to glide before the turn, after the turn. It forces you to keep your breath, to hold your breath for, 5-10 seconds. And all of those are things that you can use actually during your swim. You don't necessarily need to have the perfect flip, but this trains you in an automatic way to all the things you need in the real environment.
Oh, that's actually excellent. I'm glad you touched on the flip turns, because yeah, that's been actually kind of a common question. Like, I know a lot of new triathletes don't even care to necessarily learn the flip turn, right? Because their races are
you don't need it in open water. Yeah.
But no, very good. Very good point on that. So that's excellent. And so now again, so myself here coming into swimming as a complete newbie when I first got into triathlon, I can say I know a problem for me was that I had never actually mixed up my swim training. I would just kind of go out in the pool and pace back and forth the same swim stroke over and over without any changes in pace or drills or anything. So I can see that sort of being a typical rookie mistake. And I guess from you coming from a swim background, it's pretty crucial that you switch up the swim stroke, the technique and drills, and definitely keeps things more interesting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you that when I stopped training with the varsity team, I actually did exactly the same. So I was getting in the water for 60 minutes and just swimming freestyle, not stopping, sometimes avoiding the flip turn. And I don't know if it's like, you know, the rookie part, or if I was a bit lazy, or if I'm like, oh, I don't have to compete, so I'm not going to do it. But actually, you know, I felt I kind of missed that feeling of like, when I was training in the varsity team, what actually felt amazing was the fact that I had pushed myself. So when I get out of the pool, you feel like exhausted and energized at the same time. And you feel like you're fuming, but the water kind of cools you down. So I kind of missed both of these aspects. And this is how I use InstaBeat today in my training. Like, I try to actually not let myself ever be in the blue past the warm up. So I get in the water, I have like a 10-15 minute warm up. That's the only time I'm allowed to see the blue zone, except for recovery sets, of course. And then, you know, getting in the green zone and making sure that, I mean, I set my green zone to be slightly uncomfortable, but enough to keep me engaged and get back to that feeling of actually have invested an effort into my swim today. The swim strokes are really important for me personally, because each swim stroke works different aspects of my body and different muscles that are very important for overall fitness and health. And again, you know, freestyle alone doesn't work every aspect of your back, doesn't give you the strength that butterfly gives you. It doesn't give you the knee flexibility that the breaststroke gives you, you know. So again, it's the similar analogy to the flip turn one. Like, you won't get faster in freestyle necessarily because you're doing other strokes, but it's so important to incorporate at least, you know, maybe 10% of your workout to have it be either different paces or different strokes, so that you can work on things that indirectly make you a better swimmer.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's actually really great. And as you mentioned early on in that, you sort of mentioned about just depends, a lot of things depend on how much time someone has. That kind of makes the difference on how much they can dive into the details of the swim training. But let's say in a given week, the average age grouper, you know, who maybe listen to this podcast episode here, will realistically have maybe 1 to 3 sessions per week. I mean, it's all dependent on their specificity in training, where they're at in their season, that sort of thing. So looking at the typical time-starved triathletes out there who maybe have those 1 or 2 sessions available a week that they can train and get their swimming done in. Are there any particular drills that they can incorporate into their sessions to kind of make the most of their time? Because, swimmers, I guess, will be out to get to the pool sort of almost every day, right? But the triathletes, like I said, time-starved ones might only have one, maybe two sessions a week. And I would sort of give just a couple examples of maybe some key drills that people should pay attention to, even if using Instabeat would be a perfect example.
Yeah, absolutely. So with Instabeat, I always recommend the rule of thumb is to spend at least 10% of your workout in the red zone and at most 20% in the red zone. You know, so either this is towards the end of your training, but try to get your heart rate up, and you could pace it out with having recovery sets. What I personally do, and you know, ironically, when you run a swimming tech company, you have much less time to swim. So my first rule there is that even if I make it to the pool for only 30 minutes, I'm going to make it count. And that still counts. And that counts differently than if it were for a 60-minute workout, right? Because I have to pace myself differently. So for a 30-minute workout, for example, I have a shorter warm-up time, which is like maybe 10 minutes in the blue zone. And I try to work front and back strokes so that I really open up my shoulders. And then, you know, I get into the pace of breathing. And then I have a main drill set that's in the green zone where I make sure that I'm properly invested. And, you know, there I use drills and pulls and paddles. And I think for triathlete, a very important drill is anything that engages the core. And staying afloat is also something I see that a lot of triathletes struggle with. And so one of the drills I really love is removing the pull and the paddles and actually crossing my legs and trying to finish a lap without having my legs sink, which is really, really hard and so much harder than you think. But that actually trained me to have my core automatically float my legs at the surface level of the water. And that makes your kick so much more efficient and it makes you move obviously faster. So that's a drill I always incorporate. And something else I always incorporate is a four times I am, just because, you know, again, touching on the importance of mixing up the strokes, and elevating the heart rate. So depending on the day and the mood, either those are done in the green zone or in the red zone, obviously recovering to the blue zone in between each set. And also like, I know not everyone swims butterfly, so just replace the butterfly with a breaststroke or a backstroke. But then it's really important to have, you know, some laps, if possible, 10%, changing these, switching up these strokes. That's really important. But yeah, I would say core workouts are really important. And then some hands, some legs, and most importantly, some time in the red zone.
Excellent. No, that sums it up really nicely. That's perfect. I'm sure a lot of people will be getting their pen and paper and replaying this and definitely writing all that down. So that's good stuff to hear.
Now, I mean, it's a lot. And I also want to mention that I'm not a coach. So, you know, I come from a today fitness swimmer perspective. But I think that having all of these worked in would definitely bring a lot of variety and strength to the workout in different ways.
For sure. And I think that's kind of, a lot of triathletes out there, and I can't speak for all of them because everybody's going to be different, right? But yeah, a lot of the triathletes that I have known and connected with over time, typically it's, you know, getting that variety. I think that's what we need in swimming more, is get those different drills in and get those different sessions to kind of make things a little more dynamic. And like you said, different swim strokes and using, like, that's why I'm a big fan of this Instabeat, is just, you know, incorporating these new pieces of technology that we can use to sort of work smarter in the pool. So I think that's really cool.
You know, another comment on that. So when I go back to home to Lebanon, I get the luxury of swimming in a 50-meter pool because that's not so common in San Francisco. Yeah. And so I switch my IMs from a 25-meter pool to a 50-meter pool. And so I notice the difference. So for example, when I'm doing an IM in the 25, the first butterfly lap, I almost never get to the red because by the time I'm done with the butterfly lap, I start the backstroke or my heart rate goes back down, versus obviously in a 50 meter pool, it's like blasting red about to explode at the end of my 50 meter. But then I realized that actually after a few weeks of swimming there every day, almost, it actually stops getting to the red without me changing the zones, which means that like my body has accommodated to the pool length, is now getting used to swimming longer butterfly, and I'm actually improving in my training. So, you know, that's like extra motivation that comes from you indirectly seeing, or directly actually seeing your progress in the water.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. So sort of ending this off here, if there was a final tip or piece of advice that we kind of haven't already touched base on, you can mention new swimmers that are getting into triathlon. What do you think would help them the most to hear? Because I know a lot of people I speak to who are considering about getting into triathlon, they say they'd love to, but they don't feel confident that they could swim that distance. So the distance for people, the 2 kilometer and 4 kilometer, respectively, depending on half Ironman, full Ironmans, those intimidate a lot of people who aren't necessarily strong swimmers. Now, any sort of piece of advice or tips for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think like with everything, it looks harder than it actually is. And if I strongly believe, and I had this experience with running, like I thought I would never be able to run a half marathon or a full marathon. And actually, I ran my first half marathon without even training. Wow. Just because I removed the idea from my head that actually it was not possible. And it's similar for swimming. Like you do need to learn more technique in swimming, and you can do that by watching a good YouTube video that explains the essential, and to also focusing on the concept that like you are gliding in the water and you need to be efficient. So, you know, I can give a few tips there of like really pull your arms when you're doing the streamline, and then you have to think of your body as an axe and you're rotating around that axe. So that helps you understand each movement around that philosophy, you know. So when you're doing your front crawl, you need to pull each arm around that axe. I don't know if saying it now actually makes sense. Yeah, but no, I'm imagining myself swimming.
I was picturing it. So yeah, it's working.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, you need to know these principles, and then it's all about practice. And if you can swim one lap, you can definitely finish the distance for 2 kilometer or 4 kilometer. And again, I go back to my advice of not going full out really early on, and having a device like InstaBeat can really help you, you know. So you put yourself a target of staying in the blue zone for your first kilometer, then you start with one lap, 10 laps, 20 laps. And then you can maybe upgrade to the green zone. And then when you do 1 kilometer in the green zone, then you start adding on the distance. So if you're not confident about your skill set, then take a step back and actually do it based on your comfort level, which is your heart rate. So let the lights guide you a little bit and only do it incrementally.
That's right. No, that's excellent tips to kind of end that off. And actually, one thing, as you're just saying that, you know, to any of the athletes out there that might find swimming in the pool kind of monotonous or boring. You know how we just mentioned earlier, there's some swimmers out there who might have great technique, but they find the swimming boring. But yeah. I truly find that, you know, using those lights and using those heart rate zones kind of makes it a little more interesting, right? It sort of gives you a new focus, a new perception, to kind of push yourself a little bit and realize where you're at in that particular swim stroke. And just kind of, I think it just adds that little bit more of dynamic to the swim in the pool. So I think that's another little tip for people out there too, if they want to switch things up, if they're finding swimming a little bit monotonous at times. So I found that helped me a lot too. Kind of, it's kind of like focusing in on, I don't know if you'll know this, but Zwift's for cyclists, indoor cyclists. Now, Zwift keeps people focused because it gives them something else to pay attention to as well, aside from the actual workout. So it's just a little thing like that I thought was pretty interesting. So awesome.
Yeah, or it's like a flywheel or Orange Theory class, right? Like you have the zones you're working off of, and then for each workout you have you know, a target zone you have to get to. You can absolutely recreate that experience for swimming, whether it's you by yourself, it's using InstaBeat, it's being part of a class. But, you know, using your own motivation as a tool to get better is the fastest way, or I think is the most effective way to actually get better at swimming.
Perfect. Excellent. No, that's great. I appreciate all this. And I think that's a great spot to wrap this all up. And I mean, for the listeners out there who want to learn more about the InstaBeat, where can they go to find all this info, and where are they able to pick one up?
So it's available on our website, instabeat.com, and it ships worldwide.
Awesome. So do you guys have any retail stores at the moment, or is it just solely online right now?
It's solely online, and that's been a little bit on purpose because we keep a really close contact with all of our customers. We send them training tips, they're in touch with our coaches as well. So for now, we're keeping it on our own website.
Excellent. No, that's perfect. And then lastly, you guys have social media, things like Facebook, Instagram, things like that?
Yes, they're all at My Instabeat.
Perfect. Excellent. So definitely check those out if you're serious about heart rate training or staying up to date on the latest swim technology. I highly recommend you guys take a look. It's been a big game changer for myself in swimming. And as a lot of listeners know, swimming's always sort of been that struggle for me relative to the bike and run. So I think it's helped a lot and will go a long way in preparing.
No more.
It's going to be a good season ahead. So looking forward to that. But exactly. Other than that, that's a wrap. And thanks so much for taking the time to come on and talk. And we'll definitely keep in touch and chat soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Steve. It was really, really great.
Perfect. All the best now. Well, there you have it. Hind has an incredible vision and made it come to life. And I think that's super motivating and inspiring to see. And I can't thank her enough for coming on and talking about InSpeed and providing us with some great swim tips. Now, lastly, if you guys did like this episode, please just take 2 minutes to leave a kind review on the podcast channel, as this helps us get heard by more listeners through the podcast platform algorithms. Anyways, thanks so much, guys. We'll talk to you next time.